It's been kind of a long and a short 30 years, and what's amazing is how little things have changed between the two countries. You know, we're interviewing, as part of our coverage of this anniversary, we're interviewing at least one and possibly two former hostages. I just spoke with Bruce Langen, who was the top U.S. diplomat in Tehran at the time that the hostage taking occurred. He was held for those 14 months inside the foreign ministry. And he's just got a great perspective on it. He's now 87 years old. He says he does not hold any resentment toward his hostage takers. He wants there to be more dialogue between the U.S. and Iran. He doesn't think that, you know, the revolution at the time really did anything for the country. They were there to overthrow a dictator, which they essentially did, but they got another one in place of it. So, you know, he's kind of wondering, like many of the rest of us, just where we are in this whole sequence of events between the United States and Iran.
I wonder also if any of the coverage of the recent elections in Iran played into that. Is there any dot connecting going on there?
Well, I think the dots are that the Iranian people, then as they are now, you know, they want progressive leadership. They don't want dictatorship. They had one 30 years ago. It got them nowhere. They feel now that they have one again. Just today in Tehran, there are chance of death to the dictator. They feel that this Islamic leadership, at least a lot of the reformers and the opposition, who have considerable support there now, they feel that this is dictatorship just under another name. And there is certainly some evidence to support that. And we're also looking at the question that really hasn't definitively been answered. The current president of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, was one of the student leaders, one of the architects of the takeover at the time. Some of the former hostages, some of the Americans feel are convinced that he was one of their interrogators. Now, he has denied that, and U.S. intelligence and others have come up with no conclusive evidence to prove that he was there. But that's kind of another interesting question, you know, in this anniversary is, you know, a current key player in all of this, the president, and his role in what happened back in 1979.
I wondered about that because I'd heard both, that he was suspected to have been there, but there's no evidence of that. And so that question still, as you say, remains unanswered.
It really is, and it's, I think, one of those mysteries that may carry for a while. You know, there are some former hostages who say that, look, I know he interrogated me, I know he interrogated my comrades. There was a notorious picture that was floated out there in the internet of a man who looks very much like him, but again, you know, U.S. intelligence and others couldn't come up with the conclusive proof that he was Ahmadinejad, and that Ahmadinejad was actually among the people who interrogated the American hostages. It has been fairly widely reported that he was one of the orchestrators of the takeover, was one of the leaders of the students who kind of galvanized support to do this. But his actual role in interrogating hostages, not clear and may never be.
Okay, let's talk a bit about the people that you interviewed, two of the former hostages. And I'm just wondering from an emotional sort of standpoint, is this all still very clear in their memory? They've clearly moved on and grown since then. Are they still dealing with some of the residual effects? Tell me where they are right now.
They seem to be in a very good place. Bruce Langen, who's 87 years old, is a very he's a man of great equilibrium. He holds no resentment toward his hostage takers. He is very much in favor of dialogue with the Iranians. He has a great affinity for Iran, and he expressed all of those things to me. John Limbert, another former hostage, has spoken out more recently about just kind of, you know, the current government's legitimacy or illegitimacy in his view, and how this revolution has essentially backfired on Iran. But neither seem to hold any long simmering resentment. I think that they and many others have just figured, you know, look, what happened, you can't undo it, let's move on.
And speaking of moving on, we're going to shift gears briefly to Guantanamo Bay. Not the closing of it, but the vaccines there. Apparently, there are going to be people, detainees at Guantanamo, who will have access to the vaccine for H1N1. I can't imagine that lawmakers are holding very still for this.
They're not. Democrat and Republican lawmakers alike are basically saying this can't stand, that the detainees, these suspected terrorists, have to be, you know, way, way, way in the back of the line for this vaccine before any after any American citizens get it. Now, what the White House and the Pentagon are saying is that basically they are in the back of the line. The White House is saying they're simply reviewing whether detainees should have access to this vaccine. But what you are hearing from the Pentagon and from officials at Guantanamo is that they don't have the vaccine there. They don't know when they're going to get it. They believe it might be by the end of this month. And once they do get it, the active duty military personnel, the Americans who are at Guantanamo, will have the first access to it. That because of their responsibility to protect the health of the detainees will at some point be offered it. It will be voluntary. But the detainees, as they have pointed out, are in the back of the line.